All right, good afternoon. I can formally declare this meeting of the Inner West Local Planning Panel open. In doing so, on behalf of the Council, I should acknowledge the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation, on whose country we are meeting on today, their elders past and present. In opening these meetings, it's usual for us panel members to introduce ourselves so that you know who we are. I'm David Lloyd. I'm a lawyer. I'm a QC. I'm a former judge of the Land and Environment Court. I'm a former acting judge of the Supreme Court. And I'm currently an adjunct professor of law at Western Sydney University. Ms. Tuor?
My name is Annalise Tuor. I have qualifications in planning and architecture and mediation. I'm formerly a commissioner of the Land and Environment Court, and I'm now the chair and expert member on quite a few local planning panels.
Mary Lynn Taylor, planning lawyer and chair of a number of local and state panels.
Kath Roach, Sync Solutions, a company that works across a lot of local government and state government entities. In this particular capacity, I'm on this panel as a community representative.
All right, the next item is declarations of interest. There are no declarations of interest. So we can move straight on to the first of the items we have to consider. Item number one, this is an application for modification of a development consent for alterations and additions to the Marketplace Shopping Centre in Flood Street, Leichhardt. The application involves a minor alteration to the fire stairs, resulting in a net increase in floor space of 18 square metres. There's no one listed to speak on this matter. The panel has considered the matter, and I think I'm correct in saying that we are all in agreement that the recommendation for approval be adopted. Is that correct, panel?
I agree, yes.
Yes, I agree.
So that decision is unanimous. The recommendation to approve that application is adopted. The reason for the determination, we have to give reasons for our decision. The reason for the determination has to go on, not reason for determination. Is the panel supports the findings contained in the assessment report. And endorses the reasons for approval contained in that report. All right. Next is item two. Item two is an application for modification of an existing development consent for a residential flat building at 330 Marrickville Road, Marrickville. This is a minor modification, to divide a two-bedroom unit into two one-bedroom units and increasing their extent by a minor amount. Mr. Henson is here, I think. Are you involved in that matter? We inspected the site earlier today. We are quite happy with what is proposed, and we are, I think, all unanimous in accepting the recommendation. I think that's correct.
Yes, that's correct.
That's correct. I was just wondering if he had anything that he wished to add.
All right. So the recommendation to approve.
Jack, if he wants to talk.
Yes. Do you want to address any of the conditions?
No. The conditions and the recommendations we accept.
All right. Okay. So the determination of the panel is to adopt the recommendation. The determination of the panel is to adopt the recommendation with the following changes to the recommendation. We are changing the recommendation
the wording of it.
That we are changing the wording of the recommendation. You'll have to bring up the recommendation, please. I'll read it out if you like.
But all you can do, all you have to do is put that recommendation to us in the words that you want us to adopt, and then we can adopt it.
All right. The recommendation is adopted with the following changes. It shall read as follows.
So, David, you don't actually need to put up the recommendation. Like, you can just read it out with those changes, and then we vote on that recommendation.
All right.
It doesn't get changed.
I'll read it. That the Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of the council as the consent authority, approves the application under section 4.55 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act, etc. That's still not right. You haven't got it right. The Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of the council as the consent authority, approves the application under section 4.55 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act, 1979. Planning has no G in it. You've got to change it in the first line as well.
Yes, she'll come back to that.
All right. To modify determination. Number 201-500-499. Etc. I'm sorry. We now come to item number 3. This is the proposed alterations and additions to a heritage item at 4 Railway Street, Petersham. Miss Christina Karyanides is here. You're the architect. Are you happy with the proposed conditions that we've... All right, well then, I don't think the panel needs to hear from you. We are happy with what is proposed. Especially since you altered the floor space ratio to comply, that was the real concern. I said you are happy with the conditions?
Yes, please.
All right. So the determination of the panel is to adopt the recommendation. Is that all we have to do? Is that all we have to do?
No, the recommendation is on that. It's page 128.
Yes.
So that'll get put in there. So, and we...
So the recommendation should be put in.
Yes, but it can...
That's better. All right. And the panel again is unanimous in that determination.
Yes, I agree.
All right, now we come to item number four. These are alterations and additions to a dwelling at 104 Trafalgar Street, Annandale. Is Mr. Phillips here?
I am.
Will you come forward, please? You know there's a recommendation for refusal here. So you are now given the opportunity to persuade us otherwise, if you can. All right. Proceed.
Can you just turn the microphone on, please?
Is that better? The proposal before you is for the addition of an attic space to the terraced house here. The chief reasons that council are giving for refusal is that they're unhappy with the dormers, and so I'd like to speak to both dormers. First of all, the front dormer has been designed by the architect to match the dormer of the existing terrace adjacent to it. In conventional heritage terms, if there's a dormer or a majority of dormers to a group of terraces, it's generally permissible to add dormers to complete the row of terraces having dormers. In this case, it's a pair. The architects proposed a single dormer at the front. It's generally in compliance with the kind of dormers that would be anticipated on a Victorian roofscape. The roofscape here has been somewhat damaged, and it's a result of probably the hailstorm in the 1990s, where both roofs have been replaced, and the differentiation of the veranda has also has been lost. So the front roofscape isn't showing the terraces off to their very best. However, the dormer that's proposed is a match to the other dormer. The alternate that the panel could consider would be to condition a dormer window that complied strictly with the sort of dormers that are anticipated on the front of heritage buildings, and that would be the dormer that would be is I think illustrated in the DCP with a 2-to-1 proportion and a gabled roof rather than a curved roof or curved top to the windows. The rear dormer complies on one side in that it anticipates flat roof dormers to the rear of terraced houses, and it's set 500 millimetres off the side boundary on the non-terraced side, but it comes right to the boundary on the side that is adjacent to its pair of terraces. And this is because in a previous life, the terrace next door had a dormer window built right to the boundary. It makes complete sense to allow a variation here, because what the applicant can do is to actually build a proper brick wall between the two, giving proper fire separation. And also it means that the idea of having 500 millimetre offsets is to create a 1 metre gap between two sets of rear dormers. Where this doesn't exist, there's only a small gap and difficult to maintain. So I would suggest that it would be a good idea to keep this. I'll be very quick, seeing that I've had the bell.
Because this is a recommendation for refusal, we'll hear you out.
Okay, thank you very much. The other area for refusal is to do with floor space ratio, and this is generated by the use of the dormer. I'd suggest to the panel that putting an attic in this sort of terrace is a very good way of gaining extra space for a family without creating a detriment to neighbouring properties and without creating a detriment to the contribution these terraces make to the conservation area. And so I feel that the recommendation that's been put before you is somewhat harsh and doesn't really consider the fact that, one, there is a dormer to the front already existing in the other one of the pair, and that also creating a rear dormer that goes over and meets the other dormer that was put there some time ago, it creates a better situation in terms of the separation for fire and general amenity. The other point, which is the big point, is that the point where the two dormers would come together is just not visible from the public domain. It's quite invisible. And the rear dormer of the proposal is also not readily visible. It's visible certainly from the street, but not readily visible from the street. So I'd suggest that it may be worthy of consideration that this attic be allowed to proceed on the grounds that it's a valid way for a family to use their space, and it fits the attic space fits well within the building.
The panel members may have some questions of you. Panel members, any questions of Mr. Phillips?
Mr. Phillips, in relation to the front dormer, you say that the council DCP would require a dormer that had proportions of 2-1. So in terms of the argument that this dormer is largely designed to match the adjoining dormer, what would a dormer that complied with the proportions of 2-1 look like in relation to the adjoining dormer?
Pretty much like the dormer that's been designed and put there, with the exception...
Sorry, can you just press your button again?
Pretty much like the dormer that's been designed to match the existing dormer, with the exception that I think, if I look at the drawings, there's a... in order to match it, the existing dormer has a curved top window, and it's a little wider than the 2-1 proportion. So it would look similar, but be a little narrower.
Right, so it'd be a little narrower, the same height, with a window that was a square, an oblong window.
Yeah, well, it'd be a double-hung window, yes.
Yeah, okay. And then in relation to the rear dormer, it just puzzles me why it's actually called a dormer at the rear when it seems to look very similar to a sort of extra level with a sloping roof. So,
The term dormer came, historically in terms of planning, it comes out of... an original South Sydney Council DCP of many years ago, where, and even the 500mm dimension for the inset, and it's called a dormer because it's set in a roof space. Dormers can take quite a number of different forms. There are eyebrow dormers, there are flat roof dormers, there's just quite a range of possible dormers.
But the rear one... It's essentially the purpose of both of them would be to get light,
yes,
and also to expand the area in the attic space. Is that...
That's correct. But also, so, I'm sorry to interrupt you, the idea was to have a dormer at the front that very much conformed to Victorian ideals, and then at the rear to have a dormer that was wider that actually allowed good amenity in the attic space. So that's why it's a larger dormer.
Okay. And then in relation to the floor space ratio, you mentioned that the non-compliance is a result of the attic space. But is it also... I understand that there's a difference of opinion about the inclusion or exclusion of the garage as GFA. Is that...?
I believe so, yes. And that's not my direct area of expertise.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from the panel? Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, what are we doing? Yes. Because this is a recommendation for refusal, and having heard what Mr. Phillips has said, we really need to consider this carefully. So we'll take a short adjournment and do that. Before we do that, I'll ask if anyone here is in relation to the last two matters. Well, we might deal with that those two matters now, if that's convenient, and then come back to your matter, Mr. Phillips, if that's convenient to you. So we'll go straight on to the next item, which is 46 Tillock Street, Haberfield, and we can deal that together with the next item, which is the development at 31 Crescent Street, Haberfield. Would you like to come forward, please? I can tell you that the panel is minded to approve these two developments. We're quite happy with them. However, there is at present a legal impediment. We cannot lawfully approve these in the absence of an application under clause 4.6, which complies with the requirements of that clause. The clause 4.6 applications for variation do not comply with clause 4.6, nor do they comply with the case law applying to clause 4.6. We are therefore inclined to defer both of these matters to give you the opportunity to submit a complying 4.6 objection to the development standards in each of those matters. And we're prepared to give you a week to do that.
Thank you.
if you do that, then we are minded to grant consent to both matters, subject to the recommended conditions. Do you have any objection to any of the conditions?
No, I don't. No.
Mr. Chair, just for the record, we should get the gentleman's name and details in relation to both of these applications for the record.
Yes, we should.
Yes, so it's Colin Filmer, and I'm the applicant for both of those matters. Could I just clarify with the panel, we submitted a clause 4.6 to council, but are you suggesting that it doesn't comply with the requirements under the planning law?
The clause 4.6 objection in each case is defective. It right. doesn't cover the matters required by clause 4.6. And in the absence of a valid clause 4.6 written objection to the development standard, we do not have the power to grant consent.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair, I think we're talking 4.63B, is that correct?
Yes.
Mm. As I understand, it's clause 4.63 is the requirement for a written request, and there are two elements that need to be addressed. One is the unreasonable and unnecessary, which your clause 4.6 has addressed, but the second one, which is in environmental reasons, hasn't been addressed. So...
The decision of the panel, and I think it's unanimous, yes. is that the application be... Here it is. I think you can read that, Mr. I'll give you an opportunity to read that, Mr. Filmer. So you've got 7 days to do it. If you do not do it within 7 days, there will be a refusal
yes.
in each case.
Understood.
All right?
All right. Thank you very much for your help.
So, Mr. Chair, will we vote on each of those matters separately now then in relation to that?
We should do that. Well, is there any dissension?
No.
And the same decision is made in relation to item 6.
Yes.
The proposed development at 31 Crescent Street, Haberfield.
So, Mr. Chair, I vote yes for... I agree with the decision in number 5 and in number 6.
I also agree with the deferral for 5 and 6. I agree also.
So the decision is unanimous in that matter also.
Good. Thank you very much. We shall get busy.
Thank you very much. Now, what the panel will do is adjourn and consider the Trafalgar Street matter and come back with the determination shortly. The panel has come to a decision, and I have to tell you that it is a split decision. And I'll tell you briefly what it is before spelling out the formal decision. There has been a written objection to the floor space ratio standard. The panel agrees to that request to vary the floor space ratio standard in this instance. The panel is otherwise minded to refuse the application for the remaining reasons set out in the assessment report. It is a split decision, and I will now spell it out in detail. The decision is as follows. Whilst the panel approves the variation to the floor space ratio prescribed by clause 4.4 of the Ashfield Local Environmental Plan 2013, pursuant to clause 4.6 of that plan, comma, the panel otherwise refuses the application for the remaining reasons set out in the assessment report. The determination of the panel is not unanimous, and the voting on it will be recorded as follows. I'm in favour of that determination.
In relation to 4.6 or the
report? Are you in favour of that determination?
I'm in favour of the 4.6, yes.
And
I'm also in favour of the 4.6.
Are you in favour of that determination?
Oh, yes, it's the whole determination.
Yes.
As stated.
So I'm in favour of the whole decision as stated also.
And I'm against the decision.
Yes.
Do you want me to give my reasons?
Yes, please.
Okay.
So, 3 in favour, Ms. Tuor against, for the following reasons.
All right. So, I also agree that the matters required to be addressed under clause 4.6 has been satisfied. In particular, that the proposed additions are compatible with the desired future character of the area in relation to building bulk form and scale, and minimises the impact of bulk and scale, and therefore is consistent with the objectives 1 and 3 of the floor space ratio standard in clause 4.4 of the LEP. In subject to the modification of the front dormer window to comply with the requirements of clause 3.3.3 of the DCP for dormer windows, I find that the front and rear dormer would meet the objectives of this control and the requirements of clause 5.10 of the LEP in that the proposed dormers would have an acceptable effect on the heritage significance of the heritage conservation area.
Those reasons will be recorded formally in the minutes. So with that, I can formally conclude this meeting and thank you all for your attendance. The panel will now adjourn.